to see this number out tonight, and if you have your Bible, if you'll turn to the 56th Psalm, I want to read with you one verse to get the thought for our study. Psalm 56, and if you will, look at verse 8. Psalm 56, verse number 8. You number my wanderings, put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? When you make a study of the Psalms in particular, you'll find that when David penned a psalm, you'll understand he truly was a great man of God. However, he was also a man that faced many great tragedies and many great problems in life. And you'll find that David, when he spoke to God and wrote down his emotion, he was always honest with God. In the 55th Psalm, you'll find where David had prayed out, "Oh, that I had the wings of a dove, I would fly away and be at rest." At that moment, David was seeking to get away from the problems of life, and he cried out those words of tragedy, that if I could just find a place of rest. And then in the 13th Psalm, you'll remember David made a prayer, "How long must I cry?" Now, when you come to the 56th Psalm, we hear this man as he prays to God from the heart, asking God to keep his tears in a bottle. He said, "You've numbered my wanderings and have put my tears into your bottle." Now that might sound strange to you and I tonight, that a man would ask an individual to keep tears in a bottle. But it was the custom of that day that if you went to a grave, and you were weeping because someone had passed away, you would catch your tears in what they call a tear bottle. And then when they were to bury the body, they would put these little bodies, these bottles with the body. And they had what was called tear bottles, and they would be placed with the body in the grave of the departed. So in Psalm 56, David, in a figurative sense, is praying out to God and crying out to God. And he is saying that God has a bottle and that God stores the tears of his people in that bottle. He is implying that God remembers our tears. And what I'd like to do for a few moments of our time is stop and think of the tears of God's people. And then stop and recognize that in a figurative sense, God catches every tear. God puts them in His book. God puts them in His bottle. And thus God recognizes when His people are hurting. Every tear that has streamed down your face, God was there. He saw that tear and He gathered it into His bottle. The first thing I want us to think about is when we've shed tears of repentance. Have you ever thought that when we've come to God and we've been sorrowful for our sin and we've shed tears because we violated a holy God's holy law and we realized we were wrong and we shed tears, God has kept those tears in a bottle. These are more than just tears of regret or tears of remorse. I'm talking about tears of repentance. You know, when Judas went out and wept, the problem Judas had is he had remorse for his sin. He regretted his sin, but he never repented. But if you take your Bible for just a moment, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and notice, if you will, what the Apostle Paul had to say. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, notice, if you will, verses 9 and 10. In verse 9, he said, "Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death." So when I come and I'm truly sorrowful for my sin, God will accept those tears of repentance. And when those tears flow from my eyes because I've violated His law, my conscience has been pricked, my heart hurts, God says, "I see an individual that wants to make their life right," and God will catch those tears in His bottle. I want you to think about in Luke 22, the difference between Judas shedding tears and Peter shedding tears. In Luke 22:62, it said that Peter went out and wept bitterly. Well, what were the tears of Peter? They were the tears of repentance. And thus God caught those tears in his bottle. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 repented of their sins and they were immersed into Christ. Have you ever thought God looked at their heart and God rejoiced when they were made sorrowful over their sin and repented and were baptized? Repentance means I'm going to change, that I'm no longer going to live a life contrary to God's Word. And if you take your Bible in the book of Luke in the 7th chapter, you remember beginning at verse 36, that woman that shed tear after tear till she could wash the feet of Jesus with her tears and then use her hair to dry his feet. Have you thought about God kept those tears in his bottle? I truly believe they're put into God's tear bottle and he remembers them. So the first thing I think about tonight is in God's tear bottle are our tears of repentance. But the second thing I think God catches in his tear bottle is the tears of parental anxieties. When a parent is hurt, there's no way to get around the fact that parents may shed tears over their children. We mentioned that this morning when the young man in Luke 15 went out into the far country. And the father let him go. But have you ever thought about the statement the father said when he said, "My son is dead"? He said, "My son is lost." Spiritually, those were true. Spiritually, he was separated from God. Spiritually, he was lost. And when he came home, he said, "My son, which is dead, is made live again. My son, which is lost, has been found." How painful to know that son was in the condition in the days of his youth. Yet God saw the tear that fell from the father's eye, and he caught every tear in his bottle and remembered it. You remember in 2 Kings 18 when David wept over Absalom, and Absalom had died in a lost condition? Have you ever thought that David went up crying, "Oh, Absalom, Absalom, my son Absalom, had I died in your place"? Have you ever thought that there was a man who wept over his son and God kept every tear? But I think there's a third thing. I think God will use the bottle and catch our tears when we weep those tears over those who keep not the law. Open your Bible to the 119th Psalm. And those of you who were in the Psalms class this morning, you remember we quoted the 119th Psalm and the 136th verse. In Psalm 119, in verse 136, notice the writer said, "Rivers of water run down from my eyes because men do not keep your law." Now then, I think you can feel them in the prayers and hearts of people when they are concerned about a lost soul. And can you think about the times you may have shed tears because of somebody you love was in a lost condition? And notice the writer said, "Rivers of water." He shed tear after tear. I thought about what Paul said in the Roman letter and the 10th chapter. When Paul was writing in the Roman letter and the 10th chapter, he says in verse 1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved." I want to know something tonight, and it's a personal question. Have you ever shed tears not only over your children and their soul, but have you ever shed tears over the others whose soul was lost, whose soul was in danger of eternal damnation? And every time we think of that, rivers of water flow from our eyes because we're afraid of where they're going. We realize they don't have to go there. They can change. God's made provision for it. But by their own choosing, their own lifestyle, their own way, they're headed towards eternal destruction. And thus we weep because we want so badly to have them change their life so that they may be made right with God. And then God sees those tears and God catches them in His bottle. But I want you to think about a fourth thing. Have you ever thought about the tears in preaching? Now you may say, preacher, I'm not a preacher. But I want to tell you, Paul was a great man of God. And when I think about Paul and I think about the tears that he shed when he preached the gospel, I think sometimes some people don't realize the tears preachers shed and elders shed when they look at individuals and they're concerned. I'll tell you, preachers get accused of a lot of things, as do elders, that aren't always true. But I'll tell you one thing, my beloved friend, anybody worth their salary, much worth their salt, is concerned about others. Open your Bible to the book of Acts in the 20th chapter. In the book of Acts in the 20th chapter, look at what Paul had to say in verse 31. In verse 31, Paul said, therefore watch and remember, for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, night and day, with what? Tears. Paul said, I wept. Now today, some would say that was a sign of weakness. I want to tell you, my friend, no tears as a rule can be a sign of a hard heart. Paul was not ashamed to show he was concerned about the local church. Paul was not ashamed to show he was concerned about wolves coming in and taking those people away from the truth. And Paul told the elders at Ephesus when he's there, he said, you watch out for the saints. I do not want the wolves to come in and sheep clothing and steal the souls of the people. You know what, my friends? That means sometimes elders and individuals are in a tough position. They have to make tough decisions, but they're overseeing the souls of the flock. But I ought to tell you, my friend, have you ever thought that God catches the tears of not only the overseers and preachers, but have you thought about that God sees when sickness comes? I think we all will agree that when sickness comes, not only to selves but to others, that we can shed tears. In your Bible, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you remember Paul talked about the thorn in the flesh. And people have talked about what that thorn might be, and you and I could make our guess. But Paul said that he went to the Lord 3 times. I think he went morning, noon, and night. But remember what he said? God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. That doesn't mean he ignored Paul's pain. God saw his pain and he caught his tears in a bottle and remembered him. Sometimes we think just because God doesn't remove the pain means God forgot about us. No. God has not forgot about us. God has seen our tears. God has caught our tears. But God has never promised this life to be paradise. Paradise is the life to come. We brought sin into this world. We've made a mess of this world. And God has redeemed us through His Son. Because of the mess of this world, we're going to shed tears. And we can't blame God for it. We're the ones that brought it upon ourselves by our sin. Sometimes I get so frustrated when people say, oh, if God loved me, why does He allow things to happen? Well, my friend, why is it we ever violated His holy law? We want to blame God for things God ought not be blamed for. And yet, my friend, God still loves us. And when sickness comes and hearts are hurting, God catches those tears. But then have you ever thought about in the time of death or bereavement? If you take your New Testament and look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, I think it's evident some people in Thessalonica were concerned. Their loved ones had died. And they're wanting to know about the resurrection. And some were shedding some tears over their loved ones. And Paul says, I do not want you to sorrow as those who have no hope. Now notice, Paul did not say it was wrong to sorrow. He said, but don't sorrow as somebody out here whose loved one was not in Christ. I'll never forget one time I was at a place and a man said when he died he wanted them to have a party. He said, I want them to come in and just clap and be glad and say hallelujah. I said, that's fine for you. Don't do it for me. And he said, what do you mean? I said, I want somebody to miss me.
I told my wife, pay him to cry at my funeral. I don't want everyone happy. I'm gone. I want someone to say, I like the old boy a little bit. And just, you know, I hope he's gone to heaven. I pray he's graduated, yes. But I want you to miss me a little bit. And if you ain't going to cry, don't come. I'll find someone else to come. But I'll tell you something, my beloved friend. When it comes to the Bible, you remember in Luke 7:13, the widow who wept the death of her son. In John 11, Mary and Martha weeping over the death of their brother. And that's not a sign of weakness, but of compassion. Now what I want to do is take that, make several points, lessons yours. I think many times tears speak more powerful lessons than any of us preachers can deliver. And to realize that God catches our tears in His bottle and remembers them. That He catches our tears of repentance in His bottle and He remembers my tears, your tears, when we truly repent, when we are sorrowful for our past and we try to do better and change and we cry out to God for forgiveness. And the question is, have you ever shed tears over the things you've done that's wrong? You know what a lot of our problem is? We see everybody else's wrong, but we don't see our own, and we never shed tears over our wrong. He said, godly sorrow produces repentance. The only one I can repent about is myself. But the second thing I want us to see is that God catches the tears of those parents who are anxious over their children. How many of us have shed tears over our children in life? Tears of pain, tears of hurt. And God remembers every tear you've shed, every care, every concern. He remembers every prayer you've offered on their behalf. But I want you to think a third thing. God catches every tear we shed over those who keep not the law. When we shed tears over loved ones who've not obeyed the gospel or who have left the faith, God catches those tears. God remembers every tear. And when we weep over moral decay of the people in our day and cannot but bring tears to our eyes when we see how far man has gone, God sees our heart. But I want you to think about God catches in His bottle every tear shed by preachers. Preachers concerned over the direction of people, concerned over souls that they see aren't spiritually strong and who are hanging on by a thread. Individuals that when you preach the gospel, they only seem to be discouraged and they seem to just be ready to get away. And I think about how Paul wept and Paul cried and Paul said, I was concerned. There are some people in this congregation, I want to be honest with you, I'm concerned. Spiritually, you're not as strong as you need to be. None of us are as strong as we should be. But some, your faith is holding on by a thread. And what we need to do is make sure that we work together to strengthen that faith. And see that God sees our discouragement. He remembers our tears. And He catches them. But then I want to tell you another one. When sickness comes. Oh, today we see people with tears in their eyes due to the pain in their body. And many shed tears alone, not letting others see their pain. But you know God sees it. One thing I've always stand amazed about was when I was growing up, my grandmother had rheumatoid arthritis to the point she was deformed. They took her to White Bridge Road, made special shoes for her. She couldn't write. She had her hands deformed. Everything was deformed on her. But come Sunday night, Wednesday night, she'd get that old walker out. And there she'd go to church. And when somebody'd say something, she'd say, I might as well hurt here as I would at home. I want us to think about the people who hurt. And sometimes we don't know how bad they hurt. But I'll tell you, sometimes it's when we're taking care of someone who's sick. And I'll tell you, that'll bring tears. But then when death comes, we sorrow in time of death, but God cares. God catches our tears and He puts them in the bottle of remembrance.
Don't think your tears are in vain. They are put in God's bottle and they'll be remembered. And to think that when we are at the graveside or we're having problems in the home or in the local church, God sees our heartaches. God says, you keep doing what's right. You keep serving me. You remain faithful. I know where your heart is. I know if your heart is reeling. I know if you're hurt and suffering. I know what your pain is. I know what your tears are. I've caught every one of them in a bottle. But you do right. And let my love sustain you. And the hope of heaven encourage you. Because as we talked about this morning in Revelation 21:4, God said there's going to come a day that I will wipe away every tear. I read a story of a young boy who had a terminal sickness. And the preacher went by to visit him. And the little boy hugged him when he was in the hospital. And the preacher kind of started to cry. Then the little boy started to cry. And the preacher took out his handkerchief and he wiped off the tear. And the little boy said, well, preacher, if I remember what you said, the next time anyone wipes a tear, it'll be gone. Isn't that the kind of faith you hold on to? That God keeps them. But there's coming a day when He's going to wipe them away and they'll be gone forever. And until that day, what I do is when I weep, I look to my Heavenly Father. You know what your tears make you more like? They make you more like Jesus. John 11:35. Jesus wept. I remember a picture in my mind of a little boy falling. And when he started crying, he reached up like this to his daddy. And his daddy picked him up. Sometimes I think about in my life when I fall, I reach up to my Heavenly Father because He can wipe away those tears and sustain me till the pain is gone and sustain me until I go home. Question, are you living for the Lord? If you're here and you need to obey the gospel, we pray you come as together we stand.